Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Employment Matters podcast, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the world. I'm your host, Nuno Gouveia, partner at Miranda & Giage. On the program, we span the globe and receive updates on critical issues from ELA members in each region. On today's episode, we will be discussing Angolan data protection reform. Joining us on the program is João Listraça, partner at Miranda & Giage. Hi, João. Welcome. We are delighted to have you on our program. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great, and thank you very much for having me.
Okay, great. Great, João. I'm very excited with our topic. This is very updated, so I'm going perhaps to pass now to a first question, which is, I believe, quite important to our audience. Is if you could please briefly introduce us to the data protection context in Angola and framework. So what is the general figure and idea here?
Thank you, Nuno. Basically, there's a data protection law in Angola that was enacted in 2011. So, as you can imagine, in 2011, the data protection regime was not that sophisticated around the world. And for that reason, that data protection law, to some extent, followed the same principles that were set in the EU data protection directive. This means that it's a law that is framed under the context of the EU Data Protection Directive and not the GDPR that was only enacted in 2016. Having said this, it's important that we note that the Data Protection Agency only started to operate in 2020 during the pandemic. And this means that there are not many precedents that have been decided by the agency because it's to some extent recent. 3 years is nothing. And on the other hand, the agency has been organizing itself in order to be more efficient. And this means that there are the number of internal regulations that they have issued is quite small. Notwithstanding, it is important that we are all aware that there are already two decisions setting fines for companies not complying with the data protection law in Angola, one of which was in an amount close to €500,000. This is clearly a sign for companies to comply with Angolan data protection laws.
Okay, João, great. Well, when everybody thinks about data protection, there is always questions that pop out. So my second question to you is, well, looking into the framework that you described, are there any exceptions in relation to the duties of the companies to comply with the data protection laws, or does all companies, irrespective of their size and nature of business, they must comply with the legal requirements set out in the data protection law? Meaning, is it so broad and comprehensive, or how are these issues addressed in Angola?
Well, actually, that's an interesting question, because actually the data protection law allows the agency to grant exemptions in the sense that companies, for their data protection activities, they have to notify to the agency, which means that if I am a company with one single employee, the fact that I process that employee data, for instance, for the processing of the employee's salary, that means that I will have to carry out a notification with the data protection agency, which we could all consider as being reasonable because that's the wording of the law, but the truth is, in relation to some very specific data processing activities, the agency could have a more flexible approach and facilitate all the companies. So this, to sum up, I think it's important that we know that notifications are mandatory. In certain cases, processing of employee data is like if we are processing sensitive data. Processing of this data is only allowed following the issuance of an authorization from the Data Protection Authority. And therefore, it's important that those that are listening to us fully understand that we need to comply with the notification procedures for the agency, and this is irrespective of the size. So even if it is a small company, duties apply to all the companies, always the same.
So that our audiences can understand what we are talking about, and sorry to be a little bit so precise, could you please briefly describe how does the notification procedure operate? What does it entail? Why is it so demanding? Could you please clarify our audience on that?
Sure, sure. Actually, that's one of the things that our clients have been difficulties leading with. Because very, very briefly, you have to submit the form. So basically, the registration procedure is made using the form. So we fill out the form that basically describes who you are, the categories of data being processed, security measures, retention periods, and this is the rounds of processing, and this is the most relevant one, the purposes of the process. So basically, if I process employee data for the purpose of paying salaries, I need to carry out one notification. Okay, so because there's a purpose and there's a relationship between the purpose and the data that I'm processing. But the problem is that if I have a company that also processes employees' data for evaluation or for controls of the data that the employee is in or out, because these qualify as different purposes, I would have to carry out two different notifications. So let's give a long list of possible notifications for most of the companies that are probably listening to us. So we would have to notify the processing of data for recruitment purposes. Then we would have to notify the processing of data in relation to the management of the employment relations. Then we would have also to notify the processing for the purpose of evaluation of employees, control of the day that the employee is upset or not. So it's a long list, and each of these purposes, it's a form, and it involves a payment of a fee. We think cumbersome in terms of the number of documents that we need to fill out. And also, it can bring the fees to a very big number, because bear in mind that for a lot of international companies, they send abroad data for their employees. And sending data abroad means that it will be necessary to pay fees that are higher than, for instance, if you're not sending data abroad. Because, needless to say, sending data abroad requires the agency to be more comprehensive on the way they do the review of the notification.
Wow. So this is indeed a very complex and a very cumbersome framework. So companies definitely need to be alerted. Well, I also have another question, which is also tricky when it comes to data protection. What is the practice of the Angolan Data Protection Agency in relation to retention periods? Meaning, we rarely talked about the notification procedure. What, in terms of retention periods, what are the practices in place?
Retention periods, when it comes to data protection, it is always complex, as we all know. The first reason is because most of the systems that companies use were developed a few years ago, and the rationale on how those systems were developed was very simple. The rationale was hard drive space will be cheaper with time, and it's better to have data than not to have. So basically, most of the systems are not prepared for automatically deletes data that the company no longer needs. So on the one hand, we have the culture of the organizations that prefer not to delete. But on the other hand, we have the practice of the data protection agency that in relation to employee data, they're very strict. And basically, the view of the data protection agency is that if we consider that only employees, that employees can only file a complaint against the employer 2 years following the end of the employment relationship, the data protection agency considers that we should retain data only for 2 years after the employee leaves. And this could be tricky because
companies very often prefer to have data for
longer periods because you never know what's in it, in the sense that
that kind of information
can be used for business purposes. Secondly,
very often we realize in Angola that the employee has filed a complaint after the 2 years because often it stays in court a few
years and a few months until we receive the notice.
And finally,
in certain cases, it's not easy for the employee that we keep data. For instance, if we keep records in relation to payments to Social Security, probably it's better if we keep that data so that in the event there's a problem with the Social Security, we can provide that data to the employee so that the employee can approach the Social Security and say, I believe your records are wrong.
Here is the information that my employer at the time gave me, and that can make evidence that, for instance, payments related to my activity as an employee were made to the Social Security.
Wow, wow. Indeed, a very complex issue. Well, this leads us to another very complex question, meaning, how does the concept of sensitive data operate in the context of employment relationships? Meaning, in Angola, we have regimes about HIV, about health protection, about criminal records. Well, how does this sensitive data is seen under the Angolan data protection framework?
That's a good question, actually, Nuno. In relation to criminal records, you have to have a legal ground to ask for that information to the employees. And the truth is, there is no legal ground for under an employment relationship to ask for that information. A lot of companies still do that. Under a data protection standpoint, there are no legal grounds for that. The same applies to HIV, where basically we cannot say, well, employee has given consent for the processing. Because in an employment context, I do not see any employee with the courage to say, sorry, I do not give you the consent. And therefore, the consent will never be freely given, which means that it will not qualify as a valid consent under the data protection law. So this is tricky, but
nevertheless, it is important that we bear in mind that processing of employee data, or at least health related, can be carried out via a medical professional, because those medical professionals are subject to a duty of professional secrecy. And professional secrecy could be a good way for companies to implement proper measures to some extent mitigate the risks related with health. And finally, there's one more particularity, if I could put it that way, in relation to the data protection agency practice, which is in Angola, the definition of sensitive data contains the expression
private life. So basically, the question is, what is the meaning of the concept of private life?
The view of the data protection agency is that an employee address, because that's where he lives and that's not where he works, qualifies as private life. I think there are some grounds to challenge this view, but the point is, this is the view of the data protection agency, and therefore, this will mean that companies will be processing sensitive data, for instance, the moment they sign a contract with an employee. We are aware that this is the view of the agency, and it's important that we understand that although this is sensitive data, the data protection agency does not prohibit or limit the processing. Okay, so it exists,
the sensitive data, but it's not difficult to process it. So, and at the end of the day, the problem with sensitive data is that there are a lot of
limitations in relation to the cases where we can process it or not. But in this case, employee address, it's not a problem.
Okay. Well, let's assume, and this is perhaps a little bit provocative question, but let us assume that everything runs smoothly and employers have obtained all the required approvals and consents. Well, when do companies need employers to renew their registration with the data protection agency? Meaning, after capturing and processing all those data, when does the renewal of the registration needs to take place?
The data protection agency has approved some internal regulations. The notifications are only valid for 2 years.
So basically, this means that companies should, every 2 years, reassess the status of their data processing activities and notify the agency on saying on the renewals. They will have to, every 2 years, approach the agency and say, all good, nothing has changed, or things have changed. So it's important that companies, once they receive a notification from the agency, they implement a procedure where regularly they check the status of their data processing activities.
Okay, well, very important clarification for our clients, I believe. Well, João, many thanks for this session. It has been tremendously insightful, at least for me and for sure for our audience. To everybody, well, this is all the time that we have today. João, it has been a very interesting discussion. Thank you for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here. So Thank you very much for this.
Thank you also to our listeners for tuning in. If you would like to connect with João, please click on his bio in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law. In addition, search the ELA website where you can sign up to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download white papers and on-demand content from our online library, or access the ELA's exclusive global employer handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Nuno Gouveia. Thanks for listening.